The other big story at GDC was PlayStation announced their VR.
Yes, I am going to buy it, no matter how much it costs.
Well, see, that's what's interesting to me, because I also think that a lot of people bought the PlayStation 4 because it was $100 cheaper than the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And now you're saying, I'm going to buy a $400 visor, though.
This is my easiest access to VR.
This
is the only computer I own. I don't have a $1,000 gaming PC. I have a $350 PS4 that I use all the time.
Yeah.
As long as it was under $600 all in, I was going to buy whatever they announced this week. And
you're not going total Apple fanboy then. You do have an upper price limit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
This is not the iPad Pro. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Thoughts on NVIDIA that later, said, I'm trying to remember the number, that there were only something like 18 million PCs in the world that could run an Oculus Rift.
Exactly.
Tiny number out of the several hundred million. There are 38 million PlayStation 4s.
Yeah, they're going to be the early leader in the high-end VR game. What annoyed me about this announcement was they come out saying it's going to be $399. Everyone flipped out immediately, and then you dig in and realize it doesn't come with the PlayStation camera, which is necessary for the thing to actually work. So for $399, you get a non-functional VR headset unless you already bought
the PlayStation. How much is the camera?
About $50 or $60 on top of that.
It's not that much more.
No.
And does it have, you need the Move controllers too, right?
Then 2 days later, they announce a bundle that's $499 that has everything you need.
Uh-huh.
So that's the real price.
That's the real
price. Listening to our customers.
Right, exactly. Right. So it's going to be $499. You get the two controllers, the camera, the headset, and a game with a bunch of demos.
How much is the Rift? $599, right?
$599.
And the Vive is $799.
Yeah.
So you're still, even at $499, lower than anybody else.
Exactly. And plus, again,
and you're going to have more games.
Almost 40 million PlayStation 4s in the world.
Yeah.
They're just poised to totally crush it this holiday. I'm going to get one as soon as I possibly can.
You've got the interactive thing going for you as well, which we're still not sure.
What's that? One.
Well, just interactive gaming is much easier. You've got an entire community of PS4
exactly.
users who are just aching and willing to play with you.
Oh, so for multiplayer,
yeah.
It's going to be...
Now,
VR multiplayer is a challenge because, in fact, was it the Sony? Somebody was showing at GDC the goofiest ever multiplayer game where you're in with other people, you've got giant clown hands, and whoever it was said, I couldn't stop laughing, but it was awesome. I was giggling the whole way. I wish I could remember who that was and what was the... I'm pretty sure it was a PlayStation.
No.
Did you go to GDC?
No, this year, no.
Anybody?
No. I skipped it. I sent someone there, but...
Yeah, we sent somebody.
Yeah.
Which was dumb. I should have gone. It looks like it was a lot of fun.
It was all VR, and then you kind of balance that with Apple, what they're going to announce next week. A smaller phone that looks like the same one from 2.5 years ago. It's kind of
you know...
Hashtag innovation.
Yeah.
We should talk about that because, we'll get to that because I do feel like that's a very good point. I mean, where is Apple's VR solution? They've hired people.
Right.
Supposedly have hundreds of people working on it.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited that if we can have a $500 kind of all-in version one of VR for your house, that means in version three it'll be like $150. So this is a pretty good starting point.
Very good place to start. Yeah. I mean, the first Blu-ray player was $1,000. So, you know, I mean, when you've got a new technology for $500, of course, that's because you have a pretty powerful console.
Mm-hmm. True.
Most people already have.
Yeah.
Is it going to be powerful enough?
The PS4?
Yeah.
Well, there's an extra box, and I forget what kind of gizmos are inside that extra box that you hook and
so there's
attach
additional
to. So
power.
There's a little bit of extra processing.
It's like the old RAM packs that you used
kind
to get.
Kind of, yeah. It actually looks like a mini PS4 that you hook into.
Wow.
So that helps it out a little bit.
Sony was also rumored, I don't know if they confirmed this, to be doing another PS4 that's kind of PS4.5.
Yeah. Mm. But that's normal for the console life cycle. About halfway through a console's life cycle, they release a minor hardware refresh.
Yeah.
So.
It's one
kind
reason,
like the
though.
Intel TikTok thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You might say that VR, while Sony will have a head start, it's still not going to come into its own right away. I mean, we're going to see more powerful platforms, and consoles traditionally don't get updated very often, so they may get lapped very quickly by newer, better technology on the PC side.
Are we due for a console refresh anytime soon?
No.
Nintendo next year.
Nintendo.
Okay. Yeah.
They've been for a refresh for decades.
Yeah. Nintendo will have something next year. They're kind of off the cycle from Sony and Microsoft. Yeah.
But we're probably 3 years out from like the...
But wasn't it 10 years from the Xbox?
At least
the Xbox One. I mean, it was a lot. It's almost a decade.
How is that still possible? I mean, PCs improve so quickly. A decade is
a different product. It's a consumer product.
No, not anymore. I mean, Xbox is not just a Windows 10 machine with a wonky keyboard. you know?
Yeah, it's, I guess, I mean, they want to get the maximum value out of the manufacturing processes they got set up, so they don't want to change the thing too much. But, you know, the technology moves on. But you're right, if you're actually a PC gamer, then you could swap your cards out a lot more quickly.
Right.
But, yeah, they want to get, I guess, the maximum value out of their revenue chain, and then when people are really aching for it, they'll give them a new console.
I wonder if the console model itself is really that viable. Now that we have a lot of cross-platform development in the Windows community, for example, like, why do we need to have separate OS-based devices when games work across different platforms already? Like, it just strikes me as kind of an old-fashioned way to go about it. And if we're going to move fast with VR, maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense moving forward.
One of the appeals of consoles, though, is unlike a PC, there is one platform.
Right.
So you develop to one capability. It's easy for consumers. You buy the disc, or nowadays you download the game, and it's going to work. You don't have to download new drivers for your DirectX. You don't have to update your video card. It just works. You know it's going
to
work.
It's very plug and play. All you need to do is take it out of the box. The kiddies get excited, plug it in, and you're ready to go.
Right.
As opposed to...
And for a developer, you know that there's 38 million PlayStation 4s with the same capability. So that's your market.
Yeah.
I think if you're developing for the PC, it's hard to even know what your market is.
Mm. Your market's like Steam.
Steam. Well, Steam helps, doesn't it?
A lot.
Steam makes a PC more like a console.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It's kind of a console inside your PC in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm.
And that's why Vive will be, I think, a very interesting play, too, as a VR thing. But in all these cases, we're talking about VR as gaming. Is that ultimately really all VR is going to be? Is it going to be augmented reality that's going to be the new UI? Or is VR going to move into that territory as well? Is VR just for gaming?
No, It can change everything, or at least it's what people are predicting. It's the final medium because it's so malleable and changeable.
It's
make
immersive.
It whatever you want. So, I mean, imagine...
people want to be immersed in their computation?
Imagine going to a Knicks game.
Right.
And you don't actually have to go to the Garden. You just strap on the headset.
Well, for entertainment.
Like you're there. Entertainment's great.
Productivity? Is there a productivity app?
That's more AR.
Yeah.
That's
AR. Yeah. AR is for work, definitely. VR is for fun.
Yeah.
That's been my general mental... dichotomy.
Yeah.
And the real goal it's here like a is mullet. To eliminate screens.
It's like a mullet?
It's the mullet of technology.
Okay.
VR in the front.
Business in front.
AR in the front. VR in the back.
All right, 5 points. Sounds good.
No,
I mean, the problem with VR in a business perspective is you can't see your hands. It's too immersive.
Yeah.
So you can't actually create anything. You can just absorb information.
It's about consuming.
Whereas with AR, you've actually got the ability to build into that.
What about
ways in which you can do stuff.
What about the nausea factor? Isn't some fixed percentage of users
like
going to get sick when they use this? I can't think of a product that's sold well that sickens its users.
Except
cigarettes.
And tequila.
Wait a minute.
Cigarettes
and tequila. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I take it all back.
On the entertainment front, there is a certain subset of content that exists in the world that has been at the forefront of tech innovation for online payments and video streaming.
I know where you're going.
And so I'm very curious.
We're talking performers of negotiable affection.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And I'm very curious if we... Nope. I'm trying to keep it family friendly.
Pwn. Okay. No, Pwn. Performers of negotiable affection.
You might actually rue that.
We're getting censored now. Okay, cool.
Oh, no.
My only thought was, do we think that's going to be an important content varietal for VR and AR? And if so, where will it land?
I think it's going to be huge, and I think no one's going to talk about it.
Yeah, they're already talking about
just
it.
Like the internet. Probably the number one thing people do on the internet,
but
no one admits that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't experienced it myself. I've seen videos of people who are doing it.
I have.
And is it... as immersive? Yeah, I mean, do you get any kind of...
It's so immersive that it's scary.
Ooh. Okay.
You're in the game. You're in it.
I didn't try. I know people who tried that demo.
Why is it that you guys haven't tried it? It's so easy. You just download it and you put it on your helmet.
It's in Gear VR.
So to speak.
I don't own a nerd helmet yet.
No, I mean, if you don't have a Gear VR, I mean, it's easy to do. And there are a number of, almost all the...
Google Cardboard has it, but I mean, apparently...
All the players are doing it. Well, the problem with Cardboard is you have to hold it with your hands. You want your hands free.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Ah, class.
Can we cut this part out? I don't know how big it'll be. That's an interesting question, because this is in general my problem with VR. Is it's a considerable additional cost. There is this issue of kind of just even getting used to it, and the potential nausea issue. My sense is that adult content like that flourishes in an environment of easy accessibility. The simpler it is, the better. Not the more expensive it is, but the easier it is. That's what's been pushing all this technology is easy access. By adding an extra device and the extra cost and, you know, the difficulty. Besides that, you can't tell if anybody's watching you.
Yeah. Ah, the old mother leaving the cup of tea beside you while you got the headphones on thing.
Oh, has that happened to you?
No.
That's a terrible thought.
No, you stole it at home.
No. It's an old urban myth. The story has been repeated over the internet for two decades now, as far as I can check, of the person pleasuring himself with the headphones on and his eyes shut. And when he finishes, he opens his eyes and he finds a warm cup of tea and a plate of biscuits by the side of the bed, which his parents
just
have dropped
thought
off.
Thought you might need a little bit of refreshment after your...
Macaroni and cheese and like a Red Bull.
But before I give the wrong idea about my country, I would say I don't think anyone's going to buy a VR headset just for porn.
I don't think so at all.
Okay. You know, I think
this might be the first time that it doesn't forward technology.
Yeah.
I think the point about reducing friction is really, really important in that context. I'm just curious to see where, like, version 3... Don't laugh. Hold it on.
I am.
Where, like, version 3 of VR is when it's very cheap and just kind of pervasive. Like, the smartphone revolution really had a bigger cultural impact once we all had one.
Right.
It took a couple years, like 5,
yeah,
after the iPhone.
Yeah.
I wonder if the adoption curve will be faster in VR or it will be niche long-term.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What, Jason?
Raymond Wong at Mashable tried on the VR porn during CES 2016.
Yeah.
And he documented
it.
We have
a video of him experiencing it.
Yes.
Oh, this is a great video. I've seen this.
By the way, he's doing
America
it
VR brings your
with a gold Galaxy S7.
Virtual reality. Experience your first threesome.
One of my reporters tried this same thing.
Yeah, that was my... That's exactly... Oh, stop. We don't want to show this. But that's exactly my reaction is, whoa. Like, what? Whoa. Oh, no.
Stroking my penis.
Okay.
Whoa.
This is really not appropriate for our show.
So
we're all going like this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
To see more, pay here at...
There's a good reason why we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, that's going to be a great use for micropayments, I feel. What we just saw.
Well, carry on going
carry
for another
on,
minute.
Exactly.
The first
another
person
minute,
to make
minute.
A VR helmet with a quarter slot, you're saying, is
yeah,
going to do...
Yeah, just keep popping them in.
Do very well.
It takes Bitcoin.